You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
910, Attorney General Lisa Madigan standing by on the phone. Appreciate your time. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing fine. You know, it's a slow news day, as you can guess.
I know. I bumped into somebody the other day who said, why does all the news have to happen on one day?
But, yeah.
No, it's many days, unfortunately.
The mayor says you're I think the term he used was misguided.
That's the term I saw.
Yeah, that's what I saw. So what's your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction from reading his commentary is that he's kind of conflating two things. So I think, as people know at this point, there is a criminal investigation that is centered on the Laquan McDonald shooting and the issues surrounding that appears to be conducted. I can't tell to what extent jointly with the state's attorney's office and the U.S. attorney's office, but certainly there is, you know, the U.S. attorney's office involvement extensively in that. That is a separate issue from the overall problem that people have been talking about, you know, for many years in Chicago, and that is there a pattern and practice of discriminatory policing? Is there use of excessive force, deadly force, when it is unnecessary and unreasonable? Is there accountability when there are allegations of police misconduct? And what's happening in terms of discipline and whatnot? And is that type of so-called pattern and practice investigation that I've called on the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice to conduct? And so it doesn't look just at one incident. It looks at what is taking place throughout the department. Are there problems? What are those problems? What are the solutions to them? And because it would be an investigation done by the Department of Justice, you also have enforcement authority, legal authority to go into court, to put into place a consent order, to put into place a monitor, to make sure that we're not just talking about reform, but reforms are truly going to happen. And I think that that is absolutely what's necessary at this point.
Does the Justice Department have a template for this? In other words, what Eric Holder-led Justice Department did in Ferguson before he left the office, is it similar to what you've requested here?
So I think maybe a better example, yes, the answer is yes, it is similar. Yes, they have a template. Yes, they've done this in dozens of cities around the country, which is why they're expert on this. But one of the best examples, I think, to look at is Cleveland. In Cleveland, they went in, did a very extensive review, and basically, you know, looked at the, you know, adequacy of use of force, looked at, you know, what happens in terms of the investigations when there are allegations of misconduct, looked at making sure that there was training, policies in place, policies that were being followed, supervision. What's going on in terms of community policing is another aspect of what they looked at in that circumstance. So there is a template, and that's another, you know, significant issue here. So not only are you looking at making sure that you have somebody from the outside who does not have a connection to the city of Chicago to come in, but also recognize the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department was involved in the successful prosecution of former John Birch, so they certainly have an understanding and a history of some of the, you know, problems that have taken place with the Chicago Police Department over the years. And then, you know, they also come in from the outside. They know what's going on. They're expert, and they have enforcement authority. I mean, I think at this point, nobody can question that that is what has to take place, and it is the best thing to do in terms of ensuring that there will be reforms. Because, you know, it's an untenable situation right now. We have, and it's not just at this point in African-American and Latino communities where the trust is broken with the police department. Everywhere I have gone for nearly a week now, people are looking up saying, yeah, there are problems. Something needs to be done. And it almost seems like a no-brainer that the Justice Department comes in and does an investigation. I think the mayor would be wise to welcome it.
General, how do you build that trust? Or how? I mean, if it's already been broken, how would you like to see it either rebuilt? Because trust is such a hard thing to earn anyway, and we're kind of at a ground zero.
Hard to earn,
right,
easy
now
to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. And so I think that's one of the reasons why you really do need a civil rights investigation into the Chicago Police Department. I mean, another aspect of this is, right, I think we would all agree that the majority of law enforcement in the city of Chicago are good, hardworking,
sure,
honest, courageous people with integrity. They have an enormously difficult job to do, and they can't effectively do their job when they don't have the trust of the communities they're in. And so I think you've got to have somebody come in who is looked at and as credible, already having, you know, done this in other places and made significant reforms, having them come in, make those suggestions, and having them be able to enforce that. And I think it is a long and difficult process, but it's one that is absolutely imperative if we are going to move forward. You know, it's one of the examples somebody gave me the other day, and truthfully, I don't know the details of it, but, you know, I do remember, I mean, we all remember, you know, the horrific beating of Rodney King in
right.
L.A. And there was, you know, complete reform and change. Some people tell me, and again, maybe things are terrible there, and I'm unaware of it, but, you know, they had, there are other major cities, large cities that have gone through.
Well, you got to do something. You've got to do something. But there are people who say, you know, why didn't you do it last year? Why didn't you do it after Ferguson when the Cleveland thing happened and everything else? Why wait for the incident?
Well, I think that, you know, that's wise in terms of why didn't somebody look up and say, look, we know we have problems. As you're aware, though, there have been a lot of things that have been taking place at the state level. So Senator Kwame Raoul, Representative L.G. Sims, you know, they worked very, very hard on putting together a legislative package allowing, you know, the use of body-worn cameras by police and putting in place training standards. Some of that law is starting to go into effect. Some of it comes online in this coming year. So there already have been some policy changes that have been made on a statewide basis that we're still, you know, waiting to see fully implemented, but I think we're also at a point where we have to, you know, go back and determine what more needs to be done. And one of those issues certainly is, you know, dealing with transparency, dealing with the release of these videos. You know, as you know, now you open the paper, you listen to the news, and it's every day there's yet another video that, you know, should be released. And obviously, you know, this is an odd way to term it, but, you know, we live in a reality-based world. Everybody's got, you know, the camera on their phone. Hiding this information doesn't help. I think that has very clearly been demonstrated in the past week. We have to get that information out there and use it as a basis to say reform has to take place. I mean, the promise of some of technology is that we now should have greater accountability.
Lisa, do you think there should be or can there even be some sort of state or federal oversight of IPRA? Because now revelations that Van Dyke has come under investigation, he was allegedly involved in a cover-up of another police-involved shooting. So if there's some sort of state or federal, I guess, legal oversight of it, or can't that happen because it is independent?
Explain to me by what do you mean, what can't happen because it's independent?
Like some oversight of IPRA. IPRA makes a decision
I see what you're saying.
The Independent Police Review Authority.
I certainly think this is going to be one of the main issues that's looked at. And, you know, I've already been in conversations with legislators about, you know, what is it, you know, that we can be doing and should be doing, things that probably were discussed and talked about when they were working on passing the so-called body cam legislation last year. And that was one of the issues. Should there be some sort of licensing? Should there be some sort of a recertification process that is in place? That was a very contentious issue, my understanding is. But I think it's one that has absolutely got to be back on the table. You know, do we need does it need to be more independent? Do they need greater resources? Does there need to be greater oversight? I also think, though, going back to, you know, why we're talking in the first place, if you have a civil rights investigation by the Department of Justice into the Chicago Police Department, you are probably going to see significant reform exactly of that process, of how they, when misconduct allegations are received, how are they investigated, how long does it take, what is the discipline, is there appropriate discipline, and again, by having the feds come in and do that, they have the legal authority to go and get a consent order and to truly make changes that, you know, may be very difficult to work through a political system. And so that's another reason I think that it's imperative that somebody from the outside with legal authority comes in to do this.
The state's attorney's office, the feds, Zach Varden's office doing an investigation. The state's attorney says the investigation's ongoing. This will be a Justice Department investigation. And the mayor has a task force, which, of course, has become a punchline in Illinois. Do the findings of those four separate bodies come together at any point? Who talks to who, and wouldn't the public benefit if there was some sort of joint effort?
I think what we need right now is we need full information, and we need so the Laquan McDonald shooting and all of the issues surrounding that, as one piece need to be investigated. The public needs that information. Inappropriate measures need to be taken in the aftermath of that. I think that, you know, obviously what I've called for is a separate investigation to be done by the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice. They can do a look back and can determine how do we move forward here in a successful and legal way, similar to what they have done, you know, throughout the country when these circumstances have arisen. And so, I think in terms of, you know, the mayor's task force, sure, there are suggestions that can be made, certainly policy-wise, as to what to do. And there's a lot of information on that. I mean, the White House earlier this year, along with the Justice Department, has guidelines, you know, best practices on policing that they've rolled out that can easily, well, not necessarily easily, but should be adopted if they're the best practices, right? And so there's an enormous amount of work that needs to be done to, as we've discussed, rebuild trust, ensure the integrity of policing in the city of Chicago. Because, you know, the other thing that I think all of us recognize is that, you know, there's a horrible crime rate in our city.
Right.
And so even if you didn't have these issues to contend with, we have an enormous problem. And the policing situation in the city of Chicago is just currently untenable.
Has there been, I'll let you go on this, has there been any conversation between the mayor and your office about this? In other words, did the mayor call and say, I really appreciate if you don't do this? Or have you been able to talk to the mayor and say, I really hope you welcome this? Does that conversation take place?
We informed them that we had made a request to the Department of Justice to come in and do an investigation after I had sent the letter to have that done.
Mm-hmm. And the only response was what you read in the paper?
At this point, yes.
Okay. All right. Listen, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Take care.
That's Lisa Madigan, the Attorney General. The texters, we'll get to these as time allows because I got to get to Natasha Korecki in just a second. But the texters popped hard on this. You know, a lot of it is the stuff you might expect. But there is some interesting perspective here as well. And people are tired. But just so everybody understands, to the best of our knowledge, the jurisdictional responsibilities here fall in the U.S. Attorney's Office and the State's Attorney's Office. Those two offices will determine criminality, what's happened and what may happen going forward. The consultant, advisory, here's what you're doing badly, here's what you could be doing, that's the Justice Department and that's the task force.
Right. And I do think, and I think she agreed too, there needs to be some sort of legal oversight to IPRA as well, because it's an independent body.
You blow it up, don't you?
I would think so.
You got to start over.
You need to have some legal police, reps on there.
How would the Independent Police Review Authority have any credibility going forward?
I don't know. That's a great question.
And Lorenzo Davis, there's some credibility there, right?
I agree, yeah.
I think he's vindicated.
Absolutely, and Laura Lightfoot's great too. But you know what? When you have a situation where now this officer, first of all, 18 complaints, one or two or three, maybe you could see and say,
18.
You know, 0 for 18, and now allegations that, you know, there was involvement in a possible previous cover-up?
No, he shouldn't have been on the street.
There's got to be some legal oversight to that board.
9:24, Natasha Korecki talked to Rahm yesterday, along with Mike Allen from Politico. Details on that next.